Commentator Joel Achenbach is also pondering the season. For him, summer is all about the perfect beach.
In your mind, you may have an image of the perfect beach. Perhaps the sand is like talcum powder squishing between your toes. Or maybe it has a boardwalk with carnival rides and ice cream vendors and French fries cooked in peanut oil. Maybe it's remote, rugged, with cliffs plunging into rocky coves and not a soul in sight. A perfect beach is a personal matter. As you conjure one in your mind, you might see, in the distance, a tiki bar. Yes, margaritas, daiquiris, and the beautiful people, the hard bodies. Only you, as minister of your personal beach, can decide its policy regarding thong bikinis. Now, are there some sailboats? Yeah, but they're not ostentatious sailboats. No, they're just rentals. No yachts allowed. Palm trees? Definitely. Coconut palms, with slender, curving trunks that have been lashed by hurricanes. Somewhere in the picture, you realize is a man opening a coconut with a machete and carefully eating the flesh. He is, perhaps, a fifth-generation fisherman from whom you have just bought the fresh lobster. Perhaps there's a sandcastle. Tough call. You know that you'll be asked by the kids to help build the sandcastle, and if you're not careful, you'll become obsessed with it, and long after the children have scampered away, you'll still be making turrets and moats and drawbridges and secret tunnels and dungeons, and days later you'll look up and discover your family has gone back to the city. I have my own idea of the perfect beach. This beach is full of cars. Yes, automobiles. I'm thinking of Crescent Beach, the beach I grew up with in Florida, south of St. Augustine, north of Daytona. It's not the most famous beach, the most glamorous beach, but it's just perfect. We always got there on narrow country roads, a drive through the piney woods, barely slowing down for little towns like Melrose and Putnam Hall, past the malodorous paper mill in Palatka, over the sultry St. John's River, through the potato fields of Hastings, until we finally reached a broad saltwater inlet called the Matanzas River. In the early days, you had to cross on an old wooden bridge that went chunka-chunka-chunka under your tires. On the other side was the barrier island. We'd shoot through a gap in the dunes, down a ramp, onto the beach. No beach could be flatter. The sand was beige and hard-packed. At that point, we celebrated our arrival at the ocean by doing a little more driving. Eventually, we'd find a patch of sand to our liking and throw down some towels and immerse ourselves in the raw beauty of the shore, watching all the while for oncoming traffic. Everyone understood that cars belonged on a beach. Cars were as much a part of the beach as frisbees, as big coolers filled with cold beer. The interface of automotive technology and nature wasn't perfect. Sometimes cars would get stuck in some soft sand. Strangers would come to the rescue, heaving the vehicle to safety before the ocean swallowed it up. To this day, a beach doesn't seem like a proper beach to me if I can't drive on it. A beach, a perfect beach, has to have sand, surf, some rolling dunes, seagulls, sandpipers, shells, driftwood, and most importantly, speed limit signs.
The comments of Joel Achenbach, a columnist for The Washington Post and author of the new book, It Looks Like a President, Only Smaller.